Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
I mean, if Hugh Jackman and Zac Efron thinks this is the greatest show, then I mean, I guess it is. So thank you guys for that very kind and positive review for the Simpsons Studio Podcast. This is where you want to be, and this is the greatest show. Thank you so much for stopping by. We got a good one for you today. We about to light it up and won't come down until this show is over. Joining me today is none other than Mr. Ben Collinger, hailing from Decatur, Georgia. Ben is the father of two and husband to Natalie Collinger. Listen in as Ben shares how he went from quarterback on the intramural fields of Auburn University to now leading his own team and agency at State Farm. How sports taught him how to compete and how he keeps that same edge in the marketplace today. We also discuss how faith is a foundation for our attitude and success in our homes and raising our children in service to others. And of course, there's no off-season in Auburn football banter, so we collaborate on what we think it might take for the Gus Bus to pick up speed a little. All this and more on Episode 4 of the Simpsons Studio Podcast. Let's go! All right, episode 4, we're joined with a big-time guest, a friend, a colleague really now, Mr. Ben Collinger joining us from Atlanta, Georgia. Ben, how are you doing?
Doing great, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad that you're on the show. You know, I interviewed
I interviewed. You were gonna say blessed, but you're just glad, so I'm good with that too.
Depending on how the interview goes. it really means a lot to me. I've kind of tried to track down guests to be on the show,
yeah,
and you were you were the first one to say, "Hey, when can I be on the show?" And I, of course,
I want to be a part of it. Things gonna be big one day, man.
Oh man, I was excited that you were interested, and I didn't want to let that moment pass up. So,
absolutely, right? Absolutely, it's a good way for us to catch up too, right?
Absolutely, no, I agree. I mean, being in Atlanta, you know, Auburn football season is just a fall, showcase. So we sometimes bump shoulders, but yeah, this thing really, the heartbeat of this is to really showcase some great guests, but also to kind of strengthen, deepen some relationships that you wouldn't normally have the opportunity to do. So,
absolutely.
All the way from Atlanta, Georgia. So, Ben, tell us about, you know, how we met.
Wow, how did we meet, man? I think it was the fraternity. Let's see. So, I got to Auburn the spring of 2000 and decided to go through pledgeship fall of 2001, that's where I met you. So I think, what were you, just a year behind me maybe, right?
Yeah, I remember you.
2001, did you graduate 2001?
Yeah, I graduated 2001, yep.
Okay, that's right, yeah. So pledgeship, man. I think it's where it all started.
Yeah, it was funny because, the Marist guys and all the guys from Alabama and Georgia, they all kind of know each other from high school. And everyone was so excited and hyped up that this guy named Ben had just pledged this fraternity of Sigma Chi, and I was like, "Who's this Ben guy? You know, why is everyone so excited about this Ben guy?" But from the from the start, you just had a glow about you.
Yeah,
you had a
that.
You had a certain calm about you, a likability. Everyone kind of rallied behind you. And you were the quarterback of our intramural team, right?
Yeah, I was. I couldn't let that dream go.
Yeah.
The intramural games, man, that was a good time. Well, I think we won the brothers quite a few cases of Dr. Pepper that year.
Dr. Pepper or some other beverages. But, it was fun because – we were trying to win to make the brothers proud of us during intramural football, and right. And I think we
Isn't
did.
That funny, thinking back on it now,
what's that?
Isn't that funny thinking back on it now?
Yeah, I know this you know vow of wanting to impress. Yeah, this need for affection, right? Yeah, but then you after our pledgeship. Football season was over. A couple of us, not to pat myself on the back, but myself and you and a few others were actually brought on into and graduated to the Brotherhood, the Brother football team, the actual Brother.
I forgot about that. Yeah, we were.
So,
yeah, we were. I remember that now.
So that was neat. You played a lot of sports growing up, yeah?
I did, yeah.
What
through my childhood and through high school and even dipped into college just a little bit, but absolutely, big part of my life.
What all sports did you play?
Oh, wow. So, you know, the three main ones were baseball, basketball, and football. Played soccer when I was little, but, you know, that conflicted with baseball season once you get a little bit older. So those three sports mainly, baseball, basketball, and football.
And the thing I played sports growing up, we have a lot in common, you know, both in the insurance business, both love Auburn football, both enjoy sports. The only difference there being it's I was an average sports athlete and you were amazing, All-American.
I wouldn't say that, man.
But I still enjoy sports today, watching sports, playing sports. Now I'm coach. Yeah. Now I'm coaching my little 2-year-old, 3-year-old soccer team. But
awesome.
What have you learned through the sports, through athlete, being an athlete, through different teams that you've been on? How has it helped you in life and now in the workplace?
Yeah. Well, sports being such a huge part of my life, I mean, you learn a lot, especially something that I can bring over to what I do with work. You learn to compete. You learn how to work as a team. I don't know. I'm one of those that I like structure. Sports always gave me structure. Growing up, you know, you had to be there at this time, and you knew you were done at this time, and you know, that's something that I've always kind of needed, to be honest with you. Even at work today, you know, and I know we'll probably get into this, but you know, I've got more of a 9-to-5 kind of mind frame on things, in a position that's really not 9-to-5. So just unbelievable structure. You know, had tons of coaches. All that just taught me so much. I learned so much from them, you know, lessons that I can pass on, not only to the kids that I coach, but more importantly, you know, my family.
Absolutely.
My little boy, my little girl. So, but yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw some videos of Bo playing some sports or roughhousing around the house. Is that right?
Yeah. snuck him in a little bit early to a baseball league and,
cool.
You know, that went well. He enjoyed it. You know, a little bit tougher to keep their attention on a baseball field than it is, say, soccer. Right now he's playing basketball. But I'll tell you what, man, you know what he's got an interest in? He's got an interest in that WWE wrestling.
I think that's good. That's
yeah, maybe a little too early.
Well, but, it's innate. It's born into him.
It is. I mean, he loves it. You know, he likes to walk out of the bathroom with music playing.
Really?
His championship belt. And he likes the old school wrestling, man. None of this new stuff.
Yeah. Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior.
Absolutely. That's what I said, Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've watched WrestleMania 4, man.
Oh, man. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Do what?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Loves him.
Jake the Snake.
Absolutely. Jake the Snake, man. Yeah, all of them. You know, I met Jake the Snake one time, man.
Oh, yeah?
Couldn't have been a meaner guy. I was devastated.
Oh, really? That's too bad.
Yeah.
Man.
But yeah, man. They're starting to play, and It's a lot of fun to watch. You know, Annabelle's not there yet, but it's really cool to watch. It really is. So help coach a little baseball. As far as the basketball, I'm not coaching, so I guess there's a little bit of a fine line there. You know, I want him to get some advice from other people, and you know, I can help coach him up when he gets off the court or off the field and gets back home. So I don't know. I caught a little bit of heat. You know, there was one basketball game where he was he wouldn't go down and get in the mix. You know, wouldn't get any rebounds or anything like that, which was fine. So we got home. We did a little charge drill. So I was showing him how to take a charge. Right, kids four.
That's so good.
Yeah, but it's just fun, man. I like it. Feel like I'm kind of reliving my youth a little bit.
I mean, we're taught, we're given lessons not to just hoard them, but to really prosper in our own life, but also to be generous, to give back. If you don't have kids, you know, you can donate your time at Boys and Girls Club. If you do have kids,
absolutely,
you're commanded in Scripture to impart values and lessons to our children. So, what I know about you, you know, in the past was a great, fun college guy, but now watching you, bloom, certainly the info and things I see online, just a great dad, great family dad. And right now, this generation, this society, it's kind of lacking that. So whenever I see someone doing it the right way and loving his wife, loving his kids the way they're supposed to be loved, it's so encouraging. But we're talking with Ben Collinger, State Farm agent, a great college friend of mine. Absolutely. He is the business owner. Each State Farm agent actually owns their agency. Is that right, Ben?
Yeah, that's right. Going on, 9 years now.
Nine years.
Absolutely fly. So,
been
9 years here right in Decatur, Georgia. So,
Decatur. Yep. So, and we talked about sports, talked about how teamwork happens. You know, being an owner, you have your hands on a lot of things. You were a quarterback growing up. Now you're, would you say, a quarterback of your team, your agency?
Yeah, you could say that. Absolutely. Which was, golly knows, is really the toughest transition I had to make. You know, going from kind of a producer into a different role, which is more of a manager type recruiter type coach, which is what I really wanted. You know, growing up playing sports, coaching. That's what I ultimately wanted to do, and I saw that this was an opportunity that could do, you know, three things for me, really. It gave me an opportunity to make a pretty good income, and, you know, I have control over your income, and, you know, I know that the harder I work, the more I have to make more money, and I like being able to control that. It gives me a great, great way of life. You know, it's one of those professions where, you know, you don't have to be in front of somebody in order to continue to grow your business, and that's why you look to build a great team around you, and it gives you the opportunity that when Bo has a game or Annabelle has a game at 4 o'clock, I mean, I'm going to be there at 3:00. I'm going to be there an hour early, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and this position kind of gives you that ability to do so. And and thirdly, like I said, you know, I spend the majority of my day coaching the team and mentoring the team and helping them achieve goals that they want in their career, just the way that I was kind of brought through. You know, I started with State Farm. I started with an agent and told them, hey, here's the deal. I'd like to be in your shoes one day, but probably not financially able to right now, and would like to learn more about the product and State Farm, and, you know, I'll come in here and work for you, and, you know, all I ask is that you get me in front of the right people when it's time to maybe apply for my own office. And that's kind of the same mentality we have here. You know, I want to help somebody get to that next level.
So, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, in the insurance business, I'm you know, a few sages, years behind that same track and working towards thinking of myself in that same way, although I don't own the agency, but thinking about how I would encourage this person in a situation, how would I do things differently? What do I still need to learn? How do I still need to develop? What skills do I lack that I need to improve upon?
Right. Think about it. What do we do every single day? You know, we get so caught up in the numbers game and, hey, how many policies did you write? You know, but these are people that we're helping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, what better profession out there to be able to help someone and, you know, make sure that somebody's financially protected from a catastrophic event.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes we have to do that in the office. We have to take a step back and say, hey, these aren't just numbers. These are real people that we're dealing with. And, you know, and it's not until you see a big time claim. Like I've had a couple, you know, total losses where I'm out and the house is still on fire, you know, and you see somebody outside on the curb, you know, crying because they've either got a pet in the house and all their personal, you know, properties in there and their old pictures of their family. And it's, I mean, it's taxing, you know, so, you know, not too many opportunities I felt like out there where you're able to kind of do what we do on a day-to-day basis. So.
Absolutely. I mean, the service business overall is certainly can really motivate you, but being able to provide the assurance, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to find yourself in some pretty ugly situations when you think someone was covered and they wasn't covered right. So, but being able to look them in the eye and say, you know, we're going to take care of this, that's the confidence that they need. And I wanted to ask you, you know, State Farm Agency, they're very, you know, obviously one of the top insurance companies in the world. You see them frequently. People who are listening or recognize, understand, probably either have their own local insurance agent that they can relate to, or even the State Farm agent they can relate to. My sister-in-law, you know, Courtney Simpson, has an agency in Fort Walton. But I'm always interested, no matter if it's insurance or restaurants or attorneys or doctors, how do you differentiate yourself? This is kind of a softball, but how do you differentiate yourself between, there's four State Farm agents, in the area. I'm going to call one particular one. How do you get the number one call? Because if they're going to pick up a phone, they got to call somebody. What makes Ben Collinger stay at the top of the list to call?
Well, we think it's still a customer service-driven business. We do, you know. The competition out there has done a really, really good job of making insurance seem more and more like a commodity. You know, if you go out there and you see the commercial of, you know, two cars hit each other, you're with one person, you're with the other person, okay, you're going to get the same level of service, but one's cheaper, so let's roll with the cheaper one. And we don't feel that way. You know, we pride ourselves on our customer service. Yeah. We've got to be competitive, of course, price-wise, but, you know, we're more in tune to having a conversation with somebody and actually, you know, having a conversation about what they need, what their needs are. Like, hey, you've got the minimum liability limits on your auto insurance. I mean, who came up with those? Do you know how a serious claim is handled in the event that you're in one? And most people, man, don't know. They're just looking for the cheapest price. So, you know, that's one thing that, you know, one main question that we ask is, hey, how did you come up with these limits? And, you know, they want apples to apples comparisons. And I say, hey, here's the deal. We're not really in that game, because if I'm comparing apples to apples and I bring you over here and you're in an accident, then I'm on the hook for it, not your old agent. You know what I mean? So, you know, we just try to provide that level of service.
Yeah.
Hopefully people kind of see that and they appreciate it. So, but yeah, I mean, we've got four State Farm agents just right around me, and it doesn't bother me the least bit. There's so much business to go around, and so it doesn't bother me. But it is competitive. There's no, especially here in Atlanta, man. Rates have been on the rise here for a while now. So we've been fighting, you know, tooth and nail to keep some of these customers happy and bring on new ones. So, but we still think it's a customer service driven business. Mm-hmm. We do. We'll always think that way. It's an agency model. I mean, State Farm's banking on the agency model, and there's not too many out there. You know, you've got your Allstate and, you know, really, you know, maybe a Liberty Mutual, but we're firm with it. So, or I like to think so.
Well, yeah, I mean, finding the clients that you actually want, the people who are just shop from year to year, you're not going to have any longevity, you're not going to have some legs on that one. Building relationships really is what got me in the business is
you know,
I want someone to stick with me for a while. I want to earn the trust. And sometimes when you're bouncing around from numbers to numbers, no one's earning any trust. You're just earning the lowest price at that time.
Absolutely. And we can't always compete in a price-driven world. You know what I mean? It's like, if somebody's searching for life insurance, I mean, there's 1,000 companies you can go to on the website and get a cheaper price.
Yeah.
You know, but what I can tell you is that I'm going to be the one that's handling this claim, and that State Farm normally has a check within my hand within the past within 2 days after, you know, the unexpected happening. So you're right.
But, yeah. Well, yeah, the only differentiation that we have is ourselves. I want to ask you, I'm always interested, you know, if we're just flying by the seat of our pants in life, we don't really have a whole lot of discipline, of leadership, of development. But who were you reading? Who were you listening to? Who were you studying? Just like you said, you're wanting to study the owner when you were a producer. But who do you kind of follow in either books that you read or things that you listen to self-development? Because when you talk about self-development, in the world that we live in, you know, jobs can come and go, things can fold up shop, but if you're improving yourself, that's the best investment you can make. So how are you investing yourself right now, Ben?
Well, I think first and foremost, I mean, I think you got to start with church, right?
Amen.
And making sure that you're in church every Sunday, no matter how hard it is, especially with the little kids, you know. It's not as easy to get to church on a Sunday morning, but
yeah,
that's where it all starts. And, you know, not to go off track too much, but, you know, that's one thing that me and Natalie struggled a little bit with maybe first starting out was finding a good church that we wanted to be a part of. You know, I grew up Catholic and she grew up Methodist, and neither of those churches kind of fit the bill right around where we were. So we kind of, you know, decided on a church just right down the road from us, and are starting to get more and more involved, which is something that, to be quite honest with you, haven't been in as much in the past as we needed to be. I mean, we go to church, you know, here and there. I mean,
yeah,
we pray every night and we pray before dinner, right? And but we weren't consistently going. But once we started having kids, we're like, oh, there's no question. I mean, this is what we're going to do. This is what we need to do. So it all starts there. That's where I get all my confidence from.
Fantastic.
That's where I get all my confidence from. As far as any sort of books that I read, I mean, they're all kind of sales books, you know, on how to approach your day. You know, every once in a while, I know, you know, people are have a ton of interesting feelings about, you know, your preachers that you hear online, your Joel Osteens, you know, and all that. I think they've got good messages. So I don't knock anybody that does it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can tell you the book that I'm reading right now, it's just a business book. It's called Go for No, and it's just a different way to look at you know, your day. And you know, don't count the number of sales that you have, count the number of no's that you get, and, you know, just little things here and there. But
that's great. I'm so glad.
I try to live by one thing, and it's, you know, if you wake up, if you're in a good mood, you tell yourself you're gonna have a good day, man, you're gonna have a good day one way or another. It's just gonna happen.
Yeah.
If you wake up and you think otherwise, then otherwise it's gonna happen. And that's one of the main things that I try to wake up and do every day.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you answered that, because, there's a lot of add-ons in our life, but if we don't have a foundation of faith, of integrity, of honesty, you know, Christians in general, Ben, should really be at the top of their industry, no matter what it is, because they come from a standpoint of hard work, of selflessness, of honesty, of love and care and compassion. And that's the thing that drives us out into the world, is that light. And that's what the show is really about, is to hear what you just said about bringing, starting with the foundation of faith and bringing that light, because people will notice. I mean, the Bible just says, you'll be a light, a city on a hill. Well, that we're supposed to shine. We're supposed to be recognizable as, man, that guy's different. Right. He approaches work differently. And you know what? Your employees will notice, man, this guy's fun to work for, instead of some, you know, guy who lords over them or pressures them. And that's encouraging.
Absolutely. I mean, I grew up, I internalized a lot when it came to religion. I've always been very religious. my sister is. She's the opposite, okay? She's very involved with her church, sings in a gospel choir. She worked in the Christian music industry. She did PR for some of the bigger Christian music groups. I always kind of kept it to myself. I don't know. I just did. I don't have any issue whatsoever with people that are out there about it. I love it. It just wasn't me. But now that I've got kids and I'm, you know, not really forced to, but now I'm starting to have some of these conversations with the kids, and it is kind of forced me, I guess, to be a little bit more vocal about it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I'm at church. And I've just seen such a big difference here, man, over the past couple of years with just the way I kind of approach my day.
That's great.
And approach my office. And, you know, you mentioned kind of how you, you know, treat your team. And, you know, I think it's a huge deal.
Yeah. No, it's really a choice of, you know, I can look back on my college days and say, man, I was such a knucklehead or a fool or whatever. You know, and I wasn't serious. I wasn't mature. And I may have been, you know, of age mature, but not mature in a lot of different ways. But
you, that's normal.
Yeah.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I think that most people are. I mean, you got people that stick with it. But, you know, shoot, man, I got a lot of things that if I could turn around and change, I'd do it. But, you know. It's supposed to go through some of those
absolutely
those things that we went through to get to where we're at now and to get where we want to be in the future.
100%
from now until 10 years.
Yeah,
100%.
You know, I'll look back and say, man, I love my life now a whole lot more. It's a lot more depth, a lot more quality.
Yeah, and what's amazing, man, if you honestly go back and you think about things that happened in your life in the past. You can pick each one of those that you might have thought was a roadblock at some point and see where that took you in life. First job I had out of college, man, I just did not like it, man. It was painful. And I woke up sick to my stomach every single day.
Wow.
Right? But if I didn't witness that, if I didn't mm-hmm. go through that or experience that, man, I wouldn't have gotten to where I'm at now with State Farm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, if you go back now looking at it, there's a clear picture that, you know, Jesus was with you the entire time, okay,
yeah.
whether you question it or not, and
yeah.
he was getting you to these certain points in your life that you're at right now, whether you can see it right then and there or not. And that's given me a lot of comfort knowing that, hey, if something here in the future comes up that isn't what I expected, it's not a problem,
yeah.
okay, because I'm moving in the direction I need to move. So,
so good. So good.
Yeah,
and it also reveals to us, you look back and say, wow, Lord, when I wasn't really noticing you were there and you were providing. I mean, if we have air in our body, there's a reason why we are still alive. And I look back and say, sometimes it's kind of weird to think about, but I'm like, if I'm here right now today on this Thursday in January, that means I've been provided for my whole life. I've eaten something to allow me to live to this point. So God's been providing. But it also tells me that, like you said, if he was there in the past and he's there right now in the future, there's a plan, a road he wants me to take in the future. And so that gives me some purpose. And living with purpose is a whole lot more exciting than just wandering through life, you know?
And absolutely. I mean, what more purpose do you need than your wife and kids?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's what we do the way we do. I mean, why do we work? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's for them, okay?
Yeah.
So we've had to evolve from, you know, being, I mean, I wouldn't say we're selfish, but I mean, you only think about yourself, right?
When right.
you get married,
single-minded,
and
yeah.
you're thinking about your wife. You want to make sure that your wife's taken care of.
Yeah.
You have kids. I want to make sure that my kids are taken care of and that they, you know, are able to, you know, having some of the same things that we did growing up, and I'm able to teach some of the lessons, life lessons that I've learned.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your purpose right there, man. That's why I get up in the morning. That's the best. I mean, every 7 o'clock is little dudes running in, man.
Yeah.
Tell me it's a great day outside.
Yeah.
You know, they don't see it any other way, man. Everything's great to them, which is the way it should be right now.
That's so good. You know, I want to foster that. I want to keep them innocent. When they tell me to look at something, I'm going to look. I say, let's go play in this closet. I'm going to go in there. And you just, I don't want to live with any regret, and I try not to. But, you know, you see kind of the absence of that too often. And if it's right there in front of me, man, I got nothing to do but to play with them, because so many kids don't have that. And if a kid has a dad and they're not playing with them, then something's wrong with that situation, you know.
Right. right. Yeah, absolutely.
So you got a future WrestleMania little boy named Bo. Yeah, how old is he?
Yeah, Bo's 4.
Great.
And Annabelle is going to be 2 here in March.
Great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They're awesome, man.
So good to watch you grow, and all of our friends that we've known growing up, watch them grow.
Definitely.
You just kind of go through these different seasons of life together, really.
But that's the cool thing about social media. Me and you don't talk every day, but I can, you know, pretty much stay in touch with you and kind of see what you're up to through social media. You know, I know social media can be brutal sometimes, but there are some good things.
Yeah.
It's being able to keep up with a lot of friends that you're not able to get to every week or so. But yeah.
Speaking of social media, let's talk a little bit about Auburn football. What do we need to do to kind of push this back up the standard here?
Oh, man. You know, I've got so many thoughts on that, man. But, you know, let's think about it. Gus took us to a national championship in 2010. I mean, let's just call it what it is. He was the offensive coordinator, right? He had a pretty darn good quarterback to do that with.
Right.
2013, we were back there. Last year, not this past season, but the year before that, we had an opportunity to get there. So, you know, you're going to have good seasons, you're going to have bad seasons. What Auburn's had a tough time is we've had great seasons and we've had terrible seasons.
Yeah.
It's like, man, let's find something right there in the middle.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Let's rattle off a couple 10-win seasons in a row, you know. But it's just tough, man. I mean, you looked at last season and just wondering sometimes what they're thinking on offense.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that we don't see. I mean, it's easy to kind of coach from where we're at in the living room. But, you know, I'm think Gus could potentially get this turned around. I, you know, you hear a lot of rumors about them trying to push him out last year. And, you know, whether that was true or not, we don't really know. But, you know, I don't know, man. I'm rooting for him. You know, why wouldn't you want him to succeed, right?
Yeah. You know, when you show that you can get there, you know, to the national championship, and you do that 2010, 2013, like you said, you kind of have the experience. And once you have the experience, the fan base is like, I know you have it in you, Gus.
Yeah, and it's one of those, it's like, Gus, hey, man, I really think that your offense would really click like it normally should if you had a running quarterback. You know, you need a read option quarterback that can throw the ball. And that's that. And
then, he did get away from that a little bit.
Somebody would turn around, they say, well, what about 2 years ago when Stidham took us to the, you know, to the SEC championship? You're like, all right, well, I guess you're right. But,
I know. Yeah, I mean, Auburn needs to adapt. You know, across the board, SEC schools have improved. That hasn't helped Auburn, but across east and west, it seems like the competition is tougher. Like you said, Cadillac's the new running back coach.
That's pretty sweet, man. That's really cool. Which is kind of interesting. I feel like it's weird, man. A lot of these coaches that are getting hired on are kind of ex-players, and, you know, not only with Auburn but with other teams. And it's more like, hey, like, are we hiring for coaching or are we hiring for recruiting?
Aye.
I mean, it's all about recruiting these days. But when you think about it, you know, some of the best coaches out there weren't players or weren't great players. I mean, you look at a PGA professional, the best coaches out there, the best teachers out there stink at golf.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So it's kind of interesting to see how that's turning a little bit. But
You push.
I don't know, man. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, you push heavy on recruiting, and you find out the guy can't coach. So you need both.
I mean, Damian Craig. I mean, God knows this guy could bring anybody to Auburn, but I mean, could he really coach? Probably not. You know, but you know, that's just kind of the way things are going right now. You know, I'm a little bit different, having grown up in Georgia and going to Georgia Tech for a year. And, you know, I'm all about that Auburn-Georgia game, man. If we can't get that series turned around, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. you know, that Auburn-Alabama game is a big game to me, obviously. But, you know, I got to get some more wins in the Georgia series.
Yeah, there's some deep blood rivalry there with Georgia and Auburn. As we kind of close out here, what are some of the things that's been on your mind coming into 2019, things that you're pressing forward to kind of say, hey, you know, there's some things in life I want to do, give you the floor to talk about something that's whether it be a charity or some goals you have, you and Natalie have discussed about doing some plans for you guys, kind of things that you're looking forward to coming up in the next few years.
Yeah, well, for this year, I mean, one thing that I want to make sure that I do is to kind of level off that work-life balance just a little bit. You know, the past year and a half has been a little bit of a struggle with the business, just from maybe not making the right hires, or, you know, rates haven't been where they need to be, and it's consumed me a little bit. So things now are going great. Got a great team in there, a lot of Auburn people, believe it or not, that are working in the office, and which is going to free me up and give me more time to spend the time that I need to with my family, and
that's good. You know,
just really focus on that family work kind of balance. As far as charities, I mean, you know, I'm a big believer in the Humane Society. We donate to that every single month, really. But
and you still have your dog from college, right, Roxy?
I wish I did, man. Oh. She went home to be with the Lord about.
Hey, that's about time Diesel went.
Yeah.
Remember Diesel?
I do. My wife's never seen me cry, but man, I could not stop when Roxy went home. It was tough. So I don't know if I can ever have another pet. But yeah. 2019, man, looking forward to it. It's already off to a great start. Really, really happy for it, man. It's going to be a great year. Going to be a great year for you too, my man. I know it.
I appreciate it. I mean, it's all about the mindset and the perspective. I mean, if your perspective is about, I'm not making enough money, so therefore life's not going good, then you got it all backwards.
Yeah, life's good, man. I mean, absolutely. You know, things are going to come up, and, you know, just push through it. Things, there's light at the end of the tunnel always. So just keep a positive attitude, man. If you can keep a positive attitude, like I said, you can wake up every morning and say, hey, today's going to be a great day. I'm not going to let everything get my way. It's going to be a good day. I don't care. It's going to be a good day. So
that's it. Well, Ben, that's what I've always enjoyed about you, is just the calm demeanor. You haven't changed a bit.
Yes, sir.
You have,
Appreciate it.
You have grown in family and success in business. And just pray for that to continue, that God would enlarge your territory, and that you would keep being the man that you are.
Yeah.
I really do appreciate you coming on the show.
100%. Thanks for having me, man. Hopefully one day I can get back on, man.
Absolutely.
Dude, I'm subscribed. I'm ready to hear every single one of them, man.
Good, good. Subscribe and share and like and do all that stuff, man. Ben, thanks for coming to the studio. Have a wonderful day. I know you've got a lot of great people who are waiting to see you as customers. So enjoy your day, buddy.
You got it, man. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Ben.
All righty.
There it is, episode 4 in the books. What a great show it was. Hope you enjoyed it. I want to thank my guest again today, Mr. Ben Collinger. Bunch of dudes out there trying to get time with Ben. People like Kevin Murphy has been known to call this guy 2-3 o'clock in the morning on numerous occasions. So I'm just glad that Ben's a fan of the show, and we enjoyed having him, and hope you enjoyed listening. To get all the past and latest shows as soon as they drop, make sure you subscribe. You can find the Simpson Studio Podcast now on iTunes and Google Play Music. Other great news coming your way is that SSP website has been busy getting designed and is almost ready to launch. It's going to look super nice. Special shout out to Sam Simpson on his 3rd birthday. Little buddy, how you doing? So much fun having you in life. This little guy is such a blessing to us, and his life is just getting started. And Jessica and I are so proud to raise this little man. That's all for today. Next time on SSP, I'll be joined by one of the most inspiring individuals I'm blessed to know and be friends with, Mr. Brad Bowman. Brad's a father of 6 and has such a heart for Christ. Honored to have him on our show. This is Matt Simpson praying you have a wonderful day, grateful you stopped by, and reminding you to get out from underneath that bushel and shine on, shine on. Shine on.